another episode of Bench Talk. Today we have with us Lachelle Parker. Hey, Lachelle, sorry.
Hello. I get that all the time. Hello.
So we're doing something a little different. Again, this is the second episode that we are actually recording. So I'm really excited about starting this little chapter of Bench Talk, where we're recording and we're posting it live. Well, we're posting it on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. So that is coming. So those who are listening to the regular podcast, we're still podcasting, but this is it's going to be like a little behind the scenes version of it.
The real deal.
Of what happens, right? Raw and uncut, because yeah. I'm not editing video. It is what it is. So you may hear my dog scratching at the door. You may hear cooking in the back. Who knows? But
yeah, right?
My mic picks up everything. So let's go ahead and get started and jump in. So today, guys, we have with us Lachelle Parker, and I'm so excited that she's here. Hey, Lachelle.
Hello. Great. So excited to be here.
I am really excited about this topic. So let me give a little bit of background. Our topic today, which I call the empty nest syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. Lachelle has a different spin on that. I'm going to let her talk about that in a bit. But it was really interesting how this came to be. I was pretty much balled up in a corner back in September, back to school time, right? I have three children, and the two older ones went off to college, two separate places. One is in Maryland and one is in Miami, and I have one still at home. So my situation is a little bit different, but it's not uncommon. So I have one still at home, and it was mid-September when I pretty much lost it. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm walking by, the rooms is empty. I'm still finding myself cooking a big meal and it's just the two of us, or sometimes it's just one because the little one will go to his dad's, and it's just me and the dog, and I'm like, what is happening with my life? So it was funny because I was already following you, Lachelle, on Instagram, right? So I was already following you, and one day I saw you post something about empty nest, and I'm like, oh, somebody's talking about it. Oh my gosh, someone is talking about it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just looked through and I was like, you know what? This has to be a topic because I know I am not the only one going through this. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one going through it to the extent that I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Which I know it's not true. It's all in my head. Right.
Yeah.
But it's a real thing. And some people can relate. Some people can't relate. I have a lot of friends who kids are my older kids' age. Right. Yep. And already probably off to college or already completely out the house, started their own careers and things like that. But there are some people who are not there, and so they can't relate, and they're like, get a hobby, get a boyfriend, get what? I have both. So it's like,
and if it was that easy,
right? So I said, you know what? We have to talk about this. You know, Bench Talk is not just about career. It's mm-hmm. about, okay, we're chilling, sitting on the bench, having conversations. What are the things that we're talking about? And yeah. This is something that we should be talking about. So with all of that, you know, mm-hmm. all of my stuff. So guys, I talk with my hands, so I'm sorry.
You too.
Some people watching are like, what is wrong with her, right?
It's an extension of my voice.
Huh?
It's an extension of my voice.
Yes. It is just the whole, all of that, right? Yeah. So that brought me to you, Lachelle, right? And so I was like, yes, I need to have you on. We need to talk because I know there are other women out there who are dealing with this, other men who are dealing with this or facing it or will be approaching it and would need some tips on how to get through, you know, how to survive yeah. this transition, because it is a transition. Yeah. And for people like me who still have someone at home, a young one at home, they're going through it as well, you know, because my son, the youngest one, he was like, "What's wrong with you?" And, you know, then he starts crying and I'm crying and we're both crying. We're like, "We miss Chris. We miss Gianna." And we're like, "Okay, this is our new normal." You know, but we've had our situations a little different, but again, not uncommon, but we've had a lot of transitions in the last two to three years. So for all of us, a lot of different transitions in our home and family unit. So with that on top of it, it was like, oh my goodness, you know,
yeah,
what's happening here? Right. You know, and so the house feels bigger, you know, the energy is different, you know, just things, the interaction with the older ones are different. The interaction with my young one, the one who's still home, Matthew, mm-hmm. by the way, is very different.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really interesting. So that's really why I wanted to have you on, because I loved what you were saying, what you were talking about. And I said, you know what, let's expand the conversation. And yeah. bring other people into the conversation, and let's get started. Yeah. So, with all of that, I am so excited to introduce LaShelle Parker. LaShelle, because this is career development, you know, partially career development that we do, mainly what we do, but partially for Bench Talk. I would love for you to just kind of give a snippet of how you got started in your career, where you are today, and what, you know, who you help. So then we could just kind of jump into our topic.
Yes. Well, first, thank you so much. Sometimes as a creator, sometimes when you are on social media, you are a lot of times sharing your truth and transparency. Yes. And you're not sure if anyone sees you, hears your heart, understands your emotions.
Right.
And this is just a testament of me being as transparent as I can be mm-hmm. in my process and in my walk, and really being able to navigate. Listen, I am the everyday woman. and I am just working really hard to achieve the highest version of myself. And in doing so, life happens and we have all these new transitions and twists and turns. And yeah. a lot of times, especially in, you know, in our community, we don't really talk about it. And there aren't really just a lot of resources.
Right.
And I wanted to bring that to life. And that is my life's work. And for me, career-wise, I came from the bottom. You know, I went straight from school. I entered the workforce. It was non-traditional. From there, literally, I started as a courier and worked my way up. And yeah. from there, working my way up, I learned the hard knocks. I didn't get my degrees until well over 35. Wow. So I was sitting at the table with my children doing wow. homework.
Wow.
And it wasn't until then that I made the decision, again, knowing the difference between a job and a career,
yeah.
chasing money. Mm. And so because of that, I learned so many lessons about myself, going through the process of literally building myself up, not having anyone help me
mm-hmm.
get ahead, learning some hard lessons and understanding really who I am, and really taking who I am and what I can do to work to master my career.
Right.
I worked hard for it and yeah. literally to the point now where, you know, at this point, you know, well established in my career, only to find out that I was not fulfilled.
That's not uncommon. Right.
Who knew? And so right. from there, I have worked so hard to get to a point, to get that corner office, to get that window, to get that respect, to get mm-hmm. that title and the money.
Right.
Only to discover that it just didn't fulfill me.
It didn't work for you. Right. Right.
And what did was being able to mentor, to coach, mm-hmm. to help other women and women of color in particular.
Right.
To be able to navigate, you know, those little tricky areas that I think sometimes we're first generation in a lot of the things that we have accomplished.
Absolutely.
So there's no blueprint for us.
Absolutely.
And being able to be a mentor, being able to share truth and lead the way, that, you know, it doesn't require you to be unethical, immoral, and right. You can take exactly who you are and take the value, because we all have value, right? And then be able to take that and still have a seat at the table, because you deserve to be at the table.
Yes.
Because of the value of what you bring. So that has been pretty much my career. Mm-hmm. I bounced around a lot of times, again, a little untraditional in, mm-hmm. you know, being over 35 and sitting at the table doing homework.
Right.
It, you know, was really tough, you know, mm-hmm. going back to be an adult learner at that stage of life when I have a full responsibility. But right. I also realized that life, you know, I then realized I had power in what I bring to the table and value.
Absolutely.
And so I then began to work on me. And then again, getting to that point where I worked really, really hard. And I can remember the day just crying, because I applied for the job, I got the job. And I remember sitting in the office thinking, I'm not happy. Like, this wasn't, I wasn't right. supposed to feel this.
Right.
I was supposed to be elated. I was supposed to be like, I made it. Fireworks and confetti.
Right.
Yet I wasn't fulfilled. And it was then that I realized, as I continue to try to figure out what does bring me fulfillment, what is my life's work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I ended up being a lifestyle strategist.
Right.
I realized that I wanted to change the course of my life. And I've always been a strategist all of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that I can at any point change my life and my lifestyle, it's just having the tools to do it. And so I see a lot of women struggling, just like I was,
yes.
in that stuck place. And so you have these different pockets of life, of transition and new chapters. And yep. empty nesting was one of, quite honestly, my personal transition that I just shared publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for information. I just couldn't find it.
Right.
There was nothing that spoke to me in the language that I could hear and
right.
receive, and it spoke to my heart.
Right.
And so I was like, well, you know, why isn't anyone talking about this? And a lot of the moms that I was talking to were kind of struggling in the same sense of, oh my God. And it really isn't fair how they do it. Like, you spend 18 years launching your child.
Yes.
And then once it's done, because you have put all, you have sold your time, you have mm-hmm. put yourself on the shelf pretty much for 18 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go.
Right.
You launched them.
Right.
And that's what we pray for, and that's what we want. But there's something that happens that as we were preparing to launch them, a lot of times we didn't plan what life would look like for us once they have left the nest and once they have launched.
Exactly. Really quickly, let's go back really quick. For those who don't understand what a life strategist is, can you explain what that is, what you do?
Yes. So as a lifestyle strategist, it is coaching. It's coaching you how to have strategy for your life. And I'm very particular about saying strategy, because, you know, you can get coached to
right.
live your life, but if you don't have strategy, intention, and execution, you'll always be chasing your wheels. And
so for me,
I realized, because I did, you know, I've seen a life coach, I've, you know, been all types of seminars, and mm-hmm. it was just nothing that kind of fit that little gap
yeah.
that really I was looking for. And that really was really designing a lifestyle and a life for me. And I feel like that I created the formula, which is just that, a mm-hmm. formula for you to be able to design the life that you want. A lot of times life happens to us when we don't have the formula to allow life to happen for us.
For us, right.
And I think that that's the difference and the key for a lot of us that are going through life in a lot of us as mothers.
Right.
That, you know, we a lot of times neglected ourselves for our kids. Mm-hmm. And as they get a little older, you get a little more time, and then you realize, you know, this really is not the life that I want or the lifestyle. Because I think the lifestyle is, again, a separate entity of mm-hmm. your life, because yes. how you want to live it.
Right.
Some people just want to lay on the beach and just, you know, take our phone.
You know what I find interesting? At least for me anyway, for personal experience, I can think about yes and no about retirement, but financially, the strategy for that, you know, what my life would look like financially when I retire or approaching retirement age, or when my kids get older, what my life would look like financially, because I'm spending so much raising these children, right? And I'm like, okay, I get a reprieve. And there's, you know, you can do different things, right? So in my mind, that's what I was thinking. Mm. I wasn't thinking that, you know, you would really miss someone that way. Like, it was so normal. It was just going along. It's so weird, because maybe not weird for a lot of people, but for me, I never really, just the thought of the kids graduating high school, graduating college, or going away to college.
Yeah.
I never thought they're not going to be home, but I knew they wouldn't be home. If you understand what I mean. I didn't know what that would even look like. I never really thought about it. I just said, you guys, you know, in our culture, for us, in our family, college is not an option. It wasn't an option. So you're going somewhere, you know, find somewhere, but you're going somewhere. Yeah. But with that, I didn't think about, oh, they're going somewhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they would be leaving to go somewhere. And I just wasn't prepared for that. I know for this right now, it's preparing me for the younger one. So now I know. My kids are 7 years apart. The oldest one was in and out of college, you know, but he really has gotten himself together and moved away. Yeah. Like, away to be closer to what he wants to do, ultimately. And so I'm using part of this as a learning experience to help prepare myself for the younger one, because the older two kind of left at the same time, even though they're 7 years apart. Like, one was moving to start his life, and one is going away to school, right? And the middle one, she's a girl, obviously, you know, girl. And I think girls are a little different.
They are.
Girls are a little different. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, they're both there. And okay, so now it's so funny, my relationship with each child is different. But then my relationship with all of them together, that was one thing. Yeah. So now you remove two, and then you have the one, and I'm like, what does that relationship look like now? You know, so that has to be something that changes, no one talks about that. You know what I mean? Nobody talks about that.
It's the shifting sands almost that you're not prepared for. You know in your mind that, you know in your mind, because you're prepping. You know, their junior year, they're prepping, you know, you're prepping them for the ultimate launch. Because again, the goal is, and for a lot of us, we are probably first generations for college. Mm-hmm. So therefore, again, in the community of for us, you know, it is mandatory that, you know, you go to what I call the 13th grade.
Right.
College.
Right.
And so, yes, mentally, you know, you are preparing them for this. And so I think that senior year is the craziness of school, GPAs, SATs, prom, college tours, and you're trying. I think you get caught up.
You get caught up in all of that action, that it distracts you from the
thoughts. There you go.
Right? Right? So expand on that.
So what happens is, because we are so focused and we are so intent on really, where is our child going to go? How much is college going to cost?
Right.
How close are they going to be? How far away they're going to be?
Right,
what are their grades? You know, making sure they have everything, that it is really a madness, mm-hmm. that craziness, that you're not thinking about life after.
Right.
Because you're just in the process of getting
the process.
Getting them settled and getting them safely where they can be in a place that they can thrive.
Mm-hmm.
So we're thinking of all those things, and the kids are like, well, I want to go here, I want to study that. And you're like, figure it out. When it's quiet, when they leave and you come home, there's nothing left for you to do because it's already done. And that first night, you're like, man, you know, leading up to them getting ready to go to college, making sure they have everything. Mm-hmm. I can remember being in the car saying, oh my God, did I go over all of the life lessons? Let me take it to the grocery store one more time. And does she know how to do the outside perimeter of getting all the groceries? Does she know to look for prices? Does she know the sales? And so you're so caught up in the process of getting them to their destination and launching them that we don't have enough time, especially as mothers, to realize that once that season is complete, that it's a big drop of, well, what do you do? And you're thinking, I'd be glad when this is done. I will be so happy.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you are relieved that you have dropped your child off, and what you have prayed and what you have hoped for has now come to fruition. And so that's great as you drive away. But then when you get home, the house takes on a different feel.
Oh my goodness.
The quiet is very quiet.
It's loud. It's deafening.
Yeah. Yeah. And you realize you miss them in a way, in a depth that you haven't before, because this is probably the first time that they have been away from you that long.
Right.
And honestly, they become independent of you, which is the control part that we don't want to admit, but it's true that, you know, are they going to make the right decisions? And that's where the anxiety comes in. And so the grief, the emptiness syndrome comes into play, because you are missing and longing for what life used to look like, because you just quite honestly didn't take the time or didn't have the time to realize what life looks like after.
Exactly.
And what I realized, even for me in talking to other mothers, was that because they didn't know what life looks like for them, and what I find most often for a lot of moms that really struggle is the issues that we had pretty much before we had the kids end up coming back. And what I mean by that is identity, purpose, life's work.
Yeah.
Most of those things kind of went away, and you took on the identity of mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you put all of your focus and all of your energy into that. And so that became your identity. And so once they're gone, you now, I'm like, I know my name.
You know, for me, it was slightly different because I was a young mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hell-bent. I was determined not to be a statistic, right? So we had our son at 21. That's pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
I was in college, right? And so I went back to school after he was born a few years later, went back to school, and full force. You couldn't tell me anything, right? So being a mom, working full-time and going to school full-time, that was my, you know, routine for 7 years, the first 7 years of family.
Yeah.
And then the next baby came after 7 years. And then it was the master's degree.
Yep.
Right? And working full time, doing the master's full time. Mm-hmm. And two babies. Yeah. Right? And so I'm doing all of that.
Yeah.
7 years. Here's the third one. And it wasn't master's. I had gotten a terminal degree shortly after, but it was getting my project management certification, right? Mm-hmm. And going after that, I was like always going for something. And I'm always doing, I gotta go. And I'm doing, and I'm, you know, now with the three kids, and each one is in their own different stage. And there's the boy in high school, the girl in elementary or middle school, and then the baby in daycare, or the little one in daycare. And so all of that, and we're, you know, shifting and dealing with that, and then our relationship, and, you know, all of the craziness.
Yep.
Full transparency here, because this is real life, you know. Yes, I am a career and life coach. We all have our stuff. And I tell people this all the time.
That's what makes us the best.
I could coach the hell out of you.
That's what makes us so good.
Exactly. Because, let me tell you, right?
Right.
So, you got all of that going on. Mm-hmm. And now they're starting to leave. Yeah. And it's like, okay, I already got the degrees. I got the career. I don't need to do anything there. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so they're leaving. They're on that springboard, and they're jumping, and they're going to do what they need to do and start their lives, like how we started our lives. Yeah. And for me, it was, okay, what now? Because I have the personality, you know, I started my business, started another business. And I have that personality that just like, I got to be doing something. Like I have to, my hands have to be, my mind has to be moving. Yeah. And when I take a step back and I look around, I'm like, okay, now it's slowing down.
Yep.
Things are slowing down. I don't need to move the way I used to move, because a lot of that was strategic to get to certain places in my career. Don't necessarily need to do that. Being an entrepreneur is a whole different situation. It makes sense. Yeah. Total. Tell me about it. Right. So them doing their thing. And then in the midst of that, you know, the ex-husband, we're really good friends. We are parenting partners. We are parenting partners. Like, that is my partner in parenting. We actually did a thing today, this morning, at the little ones at his school. But he's awesome.
You may want to have him on your podcast. You may want to have him on your podcast. I'm just saying, a lot of that is a struggle for a lot of us. It really is a struggle. So that was just a sidebar.
Okay.
That's such a beautiful compliment to be able to say that.
It is. It takes work.
Yep.
You know, it takes maturity. And, you know, you have to prioritize what is more. You have to come outside of yourself.
Right.
And that does not happen overnight.
There's a depth of maturity and wisdom.
That comes overnight. But I can tell you, we really work together when it comes to the kids. And we're good friends, right? So going through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids leaving, and, you know, I was talking to a friend, and she made the comment, well, your daughter's only in Miami. It's only half an hour away. I said, yeah, but she's not in the house. It's a different thing.
Totally different.
So different, you know? And so people look at me and like, oh, what's the big deal? She's just half an hour. I said, you don't understand.
Yeah.
She's not in the house. Like, I don't have that. There's that connection that is
different. It's the presence of having them in the house. And I also think when you become a mother early, that there's three stages of the emptiness that most parents go through. Mm-hmm. It's grief, relief, and joy.
Mm-hmm.
And some parents, what I find is mothers who kind of started early, who started motherhood early, kind of jump over the grief and kind of get to relief. Which is why I think sometimes when I was explaining it, speaking to some, again, the same reaction, What are you talking about? This is a great thing. I'm calling you and we're going to have, you know, we're going out and we're planning a trip. And I'm thinking, I don't want to.
Right.
I really don't want to. And for me, I enjoyed parenting. Yeah. I enjoyed being a mother. Mm-hmm. I like my children.
Right.
Committed. I made an intentional decision to be committed to them. Mm-hmm. And then having the, once they're gone, there's a sadness. There's a loss.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
And I just think that, again, as I was trying myself to navigate it and speaking to other mothers, that's when I realized, oh, you can be at any three stages. You can be at the grief stage, which is mm-hmm. where I was. Mm-hmm. The relief stage is where I went to. And then joy, mm-hmm. which is, you know, thank God, this is exactly what we wanted, especially mm-hmm. when you see your child thriving mm-hmm. and well, you then say, well, this is what I wanted. This is what I wanted them to do. It then kind of turns into, well, what do I do with my time? Who am I at this point in my life? And again, most of us are probably midlifers.
Yeah.
You get to this stage.
Yeah.
So you have to couple that with really midlife. So you have the empty nest of your children leaving or mm-hmm. you're ready to leave. Mm-hmm. And then you have this whole stage of midlife. And there are all types of emotions. So you're going through grief, relief, and joy of the empty nest. And then you have this midlife, which they call midlife crisis. But mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that it has to be a crisis. I think it's just really halfway point in your life of you deciding, what do I want the next chapter of my life to look like?
Yeah. And
I don't hold myself hostage or I'm not disappointed in myself for what the previous part of my life was.
Right.
They made you who you are and you're still here.
Absolutely.
And you have a lot to give. So now I get to decide, now that the parenting in the form of what I used to know it to be has now ended, and now parenting young adults is now the stage that I'm in, as well as what does life now look like for me?
Mourning process with that, in my opinion. And I don't think I'm making it a big deal, like bigger than it is. Some people are, it's not that big of a deal. But when you are when you have children, and you're transitioning from one stage to another. Let's say, you know, someone is not dealing with the emptiness in that they're not having a hard time with it.
Yeah.
But if you have to transition, or when you have to transition from parenting a child to now being a parent of an adult, it's a totally different thing.
That's a whole different podcast, a whole different set of skills and toolbox kits that you're going to have to encounter, because again,
it's totally different.
So now what I'm working on now is really the next step for us as mothers. And mm-hmm. that requires a totally different mindset, outlook of how we see our son or daughter. And
you know what it requires of me?
Hmm.
I can't. So my son just turned 25. Yeah. And I'm like, when did that happen? I have a 25-year-old? Like, how does that happen?
Way too young for that. You say, I'm way too young for that. But yet, there it is.
And so he's in Maryland. And I called him a week before his birthday. I said, I want to come up. He was like, you should have told me, because I'm like, what are you
crushed
doing? Like, no, he took a pin and popped my balloon, you know, because I'm thinking, oh, I'll take the little one and we'll go up to DC and we'll go to Maryland and we'll have fun. And he was like, my girlfriend's coming up and we have plans. I was like, can you tell her not to come? He was like, no. And so my ex-husband was like, Jackie, he's 25.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care. You know, I'm like, I don't care. this was the first birthday that we were not together. You know, and that's my first. And we grew up together. And I'm like, this is what it's going to be from now on.
And it's interesting because the transition is really not for the children. It's really for us.
It's us. Yeah. It's all me.
Yeah. So here, but what we tend to do is we kind of, what I call a Jedi mind trick, to put it on them.
Put it on them.
Mm-hmm. When really it's our own like sadness, like, oh, there's a somebody else. I have a, you know, so I have a 22-year-old and I have an 18-year-old.
Right.
Really understanding having his first girlfriend, realizing the first Thanksgiving when he says, oh, I'm leaving. And you're like, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to my girlfriend's family. And you're like, oh. You know, and, you know, and I think we handle it a lot of ways. Sometimes we kind of fuss and create an argument or, well, you need to make sure that you're home because we still have the power and we have the respect.
Yeah.
And so we exercise that because maybe we're, you know, not ready for the shock of their transition in life.
Right.
And so I think that's where, same thing for children going away to college, that's where the fear, the anxiety of, well, are you safe? And, you know, I don't know if you should go really far. And that's another thing I see parents do a lot.
Yeah.
They hinder the child's really dreams of going far because as parents, we don't want them to go that far.
Right.
Now, I think all parents think it at one point where they're like, oh my goodness, did they say they're going to go all the way across the country for college? And although you want them to experience that because you don't ever want to hinder and stunt their the possibilities of life for them.
Right.
But
right.
at the same time, you're like, well, I'm going to put that at the bottom of the list. Are you sure?
Right.
So I think that's where we kind of come in.
Right.
Selfishly, lovingly, putting our own thoughts, fears,
emotions. On them.
In them. Right. When, you know, like you said, sometimes you just need to have a good talking to be like, well, he is 25. You know, it's about right. That's about time. You know,
not for me.
that's the evolution of growth in life that,
you know, I forget.
Not prepared for, you know.
I forget I was them. I forget that was me.
Yes. Yes.
And then I have to say to myself, like, if we want to get really real, mm-hmm. I need to be real and say, well, at 21, you had to have a conversation.
so look how that changes. Because again, when we look back at ourselves, when we were that age, you know, it's a little, you know, I'm going to hide underneath the table.
Let's pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't want you to ask me that question.
Right?
So. And here's the thing. They have surpassed us, right?
Yes.
And probably the age that we were, what we were doing, where we were in life, for the most part, the kids have already surpassed that. So what do you want? What do you want?
I have to say, okay, take a deep breath, relax.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I really have to knock on wood and say that we really had a good community village for us with our kids, right? And really didn't have issues that I see some, you know, other issues. And so for me,
which makes it even harder that when they leave, you're like, oh,
I like my kids, right? You know, because it's like, now, do they really, can they stand me? I don't know, because I'm so like, oh, right?
I think that that's the job of a mom that's really committed, that's really invested in your child's future and really teaching them the best that you possibly can with all that you have.
Right.
I think that that's what it takes.
Right. And
so no, the depth of what you feel is totally legit, mm-hmm. which is why I, again, was trying to look for information because it was mixed. I had some girlfriends that were saying, I didn't go through that at all.
Right.
And then I had, you know, another girlfriend who's a mom that cried for days and literally wouldn't, you know, I would text, hey, how you doing? No response. She was in a ball for days. And she still, and you know, and it was just her oldest leaving the house for college. She still has a young one in the house, but that just really was very, very difficult for her. So you have, you know, varying degrees of mothers going through various stages. And for me, I couldn't figure it out. So I was like, well, I don't feel that. I don't feel that. And then I would have highs and lows in between.
Right.
One day I'm really excited and I talk to them and, you know, they're doing well. And you know, I had my daughter recently call me and said, Mom, you're calling me way too much. Like, you're FaceTiming me way too much.
No, I FaceTime because, you know, with me, I want to see where they are. Why didn't you answer FaceTime? Like, why are you calling me?
And
I'm FaceTiming you.
So as you're going through that, right? So you like, oh, it's their first time away from home. Are they healthy? Are they okay? Are they making right decisions? Are they safe?
Right.
Are they doing good in school? And, you know, did you wash your clothes?
All of
these things that come into play. But what we don't realize is as we're calling them, we're almost really putting a Band-Aid and not addressing what we really need to focus on,
right.
And that is they are doing what they are supposed to do. It's now time for us to do what we are supposed to do too. And that is putting the focus back on us, going through those emotions of grief, relief, joy, depending on where you are and all the little emotions in between.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that I think for a lot of mothers, we like the feeling of being taken care. We've taken 18 years plus to take care. We took pride in that. We took pride in how our children grew up and who they become. We like the fact that we had someone that we could love. So I think that's the aspect of, I was listening to something recently and it Halloween's coming up. So one of the reminders for me is, you know, it was this time of the year that you're like, oh, I got to, you know, I have to leave work early because I got to take the kids out. And you're, you know, complaining, fussing.
Yeah.
The moment that you don't have that anymore or when it's back to school time. And although you may have missed that part, you miss the fact of being able to organize, you know, have them encourage them for the year. Those are the aspects that you miss. It's not necessarily really the after school plays,
right?
Rushing to pick them up from daycare, the sports in the rain. You don't miss that. You don't miss that.
Right.
What you miss is what it took for you to be loved, to be nurtured, to nurture. And in the end, those are really what you miss. That's really when you get down to it, what you're really longing for and what life looked like for you then, even though it's not really what you wanted. You know, it was hard work going every day, 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
Right, but it was your norm. It was your...
It was.
Keeping up with that was the thing that you did. And so now it's like, okay, I need to be doing something else. Mm-hmm. I have to do something else because if I don't, I'm going to end up in a corner in a ball on the, you know... And that's not good for anybody, you know?
And that's where you kind of take the, really, it is a beautiful, fantastic opportunity because you have half of your life left to live. That's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful discovery as you're going through this transition.
Right.
And you realize, I have an amazing amount of time to really live life on my terms. you know, I can relax a little bit in understanding that I don't have to come home every day and be responsible for someone, or I can start getting prepared as, you know, the children start leaving the nest, that I can now say, well, okay, now it's time for me to take those dreams off the shelves, or maybe explore who I am, what right. I was interested in. Maybe it was writing, maybe it was art, maybe it right. was,
and you can dive deeper into it. You can dive deeper into who you are.
Yeah.
When you don't have that on you, you know, not like it was a burden, but I think now is the time to really figure it out, to really dive deeper.
I call it the grind. So in the grind. And so when you're in the grind, quite honestly, you don't have time to dream. Dream about, if I could do anything at this point in my life,
exactly,
what would I do? You don't have time for that,
right?
Again, as the everyday woman living the everyday life, you don't get the luxury of that time. And really, that's what that is. It's time. And so we're looking at it from a negative standpoint of, you know, we long for the days where we just wanted time. If I could just sleep till 9, I'm good to go. It's a beautiful day when you can sleep till 9 o'clock.
Tell me about it, right?
And so you start getting a little more time back into your life. And I think what happens is it becomes so much time that we don't know what to do with it. And, you know, you only because I live it. Walking from room to room, the house is completely clean. So those are, again, you know, I came up with some funnies that, you know, to kind of, it's okay to go through the stages, especially mm-hmm. if you're in the grief. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself to experience that. Mm-hmm. Cry, you know, you long for what was in terms of parenting, because you know that chapter is now turned to a new one. And so you long for that a little bit, but the goal is to not stay there long and to realize that, again, listen, didn't you ask for a clean house? How many times did you say, I just want a clean house? Or guess what? Your house is super clean because nobody's there. And so those little things that you used to long for, that you're like, I'm just, what do you want for Christmas? A maid. That's what I want. A maid.
Now you don't need one.
And now, so here's what happens is now your house is super clean. And so again, time. What do you do with your time?
Yeah.
And a grocery store. You mentioned grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. My husband and I can remember the first time we went to the grocery store. You know, we've always bought snacks because we have kids. And so kids need snacks.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't eat them, but we bought them for the kids. And so I remember the first time when we went to the grocery store once my daughter left and, you know, making big meals and grocery shopping. Literally, we walked aimlessly around the grocery store because we did not know really what to buy. And I took a picture, and it was I tagged it empty, a cart full of nothing.
Right. Right.
We were just walking around aimlessly.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know what to buy. We didn't know, well, should we cook? I mean, cook. I'm not really hungry, and we're always on a diet. So.
Right.
So,
like,
so those are those little interesting little nuggets of crevices that nobody talks about, that, you know, we just walking around aimlessly, walking around and not
knowing. Really trivial. I don't know what to do with my dishwasher anymore.
Yep.
And I'm like, it's first world problems, right? So I'm like,
clean dishes.
And I literally had to, I don't even know why I bought a new one, because I'm like,
No need.
What was the purpose? I could have made a wine cooler thing, you know, the wine.
Investing your money in something else. But that goes with, again, the mindset.
The mindset.
Because the mindset was always that, you know, dishes was an issue. I'm going to get a dishwasher because that solves the problem. But
right.
not understanding that thinking no longer applies to the life of this moment.
Not at all.
That's where I'm talking about where the mind shift comes in of understanding, well, we don't need to cook a big old meal and have leftovers for an entire week. No one's eating it.
Nobody's eating it.
And why? Right. And those little things of, well, should I, you know, I have this extra room, but it used to be for when the kids would come over and they would bring their friends to sleep over.
Right.
And so now it's just this empty room
right.
that I've always wanted to have, like, you know, a place where I had like a TV lounge.
Right. Right.
And so now you start looking at your home and your life differently. The silence again is another, because normally the house has an energy, especially
yes.
kids coming and going, and there's always movement.
There's always movement, absolutely.
In the house. And so that's another little interesting piece that you realize nothing happening.
Nothing is happening in here. Well, okay. And
yeah.
I hear everything.
And so,
I'm like, what's that?
Yeah, and you just walk from room to room, right? You're just walking from room to room.
Yeah.
And so what I wanted to bring to life and really bring to the forefront of the conversation is that this happens and there's emotions tied to it, but there's a way that you can take that and really skyrocket to the life that you are just thrilled every day, to excited to see what life's adventures has for you. Because
so let's talk about that surviving.
Yes.
Let's talk about surviving, because you guys heard enough of mine.
But I think that's part of the process, because I think no one is really talking about their experience
mm-hmm.
and stories truthfully.
People are embarrassed, and honestly, mm-hmm. it's embarrassing to me. But then I'm like, you know what? I'm not perfect by any means.
Right.
Did I, you know, I called my daughter the other day. Are you coming home this weekend? And she was like, no. And I'm like, all right. And I was sad.
Yes.
I was sad.
And
you know,
wait till they come home and they're there all of 30 minutes. And you're thinking, oh, I know they miss home. Oh, you know, we're just going to Netflix and watch a movie. And we're just going to snuggle bug because I miss them so much. Literally, my daughter came home for the first time.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I miss the house. Oh, I miss my bed. Oh, guess what, Mom? All of my friends are home. And so I'm getting ready to leave
yep.
to meet them because we're going out to eat. But I'll be back.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, I thought tonight was our night to
yep.
plug in. You know, I've been holding off. I didn't want to tell her, but there was a movie that I was like, oh, I'm going to wait till she gets home because I know we're going to watch that. And
wow. Yeah. They do their own thing. They're
and
like, we're not.
The lesson that I learned from that was her life is just beginning. And it is exciting
mm-hmm.
to watch her and my son
mm-hmm.
really live life as a young adult. It just warms my heart and is so exciting that I started saying, well, why don't I have that for me?
Mm.
Why don't I have that excitement for me? Because really, it's the same thing. We're just excited about life and what life has for us and
wow.
the opportunities and our experiences. And so I found myself listening to them talk about like what they did over the weekend,
right.
what their plans are for the upcoming year.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's amazing to watch them love and be excited about life. And it
we
just kind of had me thinking that, wow, they are loving life. Like they are excited.
Mm-hmm.
For what life has in store and
right.
what the possibilities are. And they think it's endless. And I was like, well, I'm over here sad and woe is me.
Right.
I just can't pull it together, but yet I'm excited for them. Yeah. I can have the same. I can have the same. And let's face it, I'm older than they are. I got a little more resources than they do.
So we should, right? We should. We should. And we shouldn't feel guilty about it.
Because we had to before, because again, shame on you, mom, for you know, stealing away time for you when you could have been using that time to, you know, spend with your kids. And it is our time. And you can use that. You can kind of turn that around. So as you kind of slowly get used to the idea of understanding that they're getting ready to explore life, and you have done well.
Mm-hmm.
You have done well as a mother to prepare them as they launch off into life. And so you get to sit there and smile and say, you go, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still have the same excitement in your life.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to episode 14. That was part one. There is a part two, so please click the episode 14 part two. You don't want to miss the rest of this episode. And part two is about the 5 tips on how to survive the empty nest. So 5 tips on how to survive the empty nest coming up in part two. Be sure to listen. This is Jackie Mitchell, your career consultant. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Jackie Mitchell CC, and on Twitter, Jackie Mitch, that's Jackie M-I-T-C-H-C-C. Thank you guys.